Welcome back to DMnastics, the gym for dungeon masters to work out their minds. I'm one of your hosts, DM Neil, a.k.a. Jote Maniac.
And it's me, your other host, DM Celeste, a.k.a. Sea Witch.
Yes! And today on the superset that we have for you, it is entitled, All Your Avatar Are Belong to Us.
Oh my... I don't, but I figured because that's a pretty baller title. So tell me, okay. Neil, what's so, the story?
So long ago, there was a game that was ported from Japanese to English, and one of the lines in it, basically from the evil villain, was "All your base yes. are belong to us."
Ah, so frightening!
Yes. So amazing. It's
what was the name
just,
of this game? Wait. What was the name of the game?
I don't know. I just know the meme.
Okay. All right. Meme culture. Got it. Googling.
Oh, wow. Look at that.
It has its own find
Wikipedia
it?
Article.
Whoa. Must be a pretty popular game to be memeified.
It's the opening cutscene of the video game Zero Wing.
Whoa. We've all learned today. Very good. But what else are we going to learn in the superset today?
Aha! So one of the things that you can do that is a lesser version of having a deity in your game show up is to have the avatar of that deity show up instead. And of course, one of the options, the alternate options, is that one of your players becomes that avatar, which I always think back to the Baldur's Gate games where your ball is basically chosen you and a bunch of other people as avatars, and you have to kind of decide, do you appreciate that?
Frightening.
Or do you want to kind of counter
like being
that?
The murder god's representative on Earth? We'll see. We'll see. Yeah. Yeah. I love avatars. I use them a lot. I think it's a very cool kind of idea and mechanic. So I'm excited to hear this episode and see what everybody gets up to.
And that means we should head to the exercise already in progress.
Well, I think that's smashing.
So the prompt that people had on the Dungeon Master Block forums was basically talking about avatars for the gods, trying to get people to think of avatars in general. Like, it's such a kind of old fantasy, you know, idea that these gods and, you know, members of the pantheon would have kind of lesser beings that would kind of represent them, you know. So that's like the whole idea of what an avatar is. And so you prompted people to think of things like, you know, in their game or for their idea, like how is their created avatar chosen or born, or how do they come into existence? What is their goals? What special abilities do they have that were given to them by their god or whatever? Things like, can they be defeated? Do they return after defeat? That kind of stuff. So lots of kind of big picture, like deity level stuff going on.
Yeah, and I don't know why I hadn't thought of it now, but it's probably this prompt coming from my childhood and playing Baldur's Gate and Baldur's Gate 2, where you're being an avatar of Bahal, and which that definitely presents itself more clearly in the second game.
Yes, definitely.
So, first up, what was your pick from the forums?
So, I chose this post by, and correct me if I get this wrong, but I believe the name is DM Genesisect, who created the twin avatars, actually, Ren and Yak, the Lightning Twins. In his fiction that he created, Ren and Yak are born amongst dwarves, which is something that always jumped out to me. I feel like dwarves often don't get enough love in what, you know, people come up with D&D ideas. Like, I always felt like they're the redheaded stepchilds of people's ideas. You know, it's always humans or elves or whatever, but dwarves are awesome.
Agreed.
Yeah, so I was naturally drawn to, like, ooh, this awesome post about dwarves. So these twin dwarven avatars aren't born necessarily as, like, godlike figures. They basically, when they're older, there's a ritual where they come together under the sky, they're struck by lightning, and they become, like, lightning twins, essentially, like, avatars of lightning god. So it's pretty cool. I like that thematically. It's a neat visual.
Yeah, and Ren and Yak were pulled from the DMnastics number 23, the Pantheon Builder, which I realized I linked in the prompt. So that is where some of them came from.
Ah.
I also like that potentially, based on their idea, that you could have the potential for the avatars born, but like it might not happen.
Right.
Because essentially it's two dwarves that have been born at the exact same time. And then it essentially it's like this promotes the ability to have this happen, but by no means is it destined to happen, or at least that's how I'm reading back out of it.
Right. There's not like a set name, I guess, kind of like there's basically twins and they kind of turn into or they ascend into the, you know, Ren and Yak, but like they're, you know, dwarves. Before that, he gives a little bit of history of like the greatest twin avatars were Thyrki and Lahore, you know, which is like, oh, that's cool. I like that, you know, gives some nice history there. And I like the fact that the way that they're defeated was kind of like the whole, you know, twin thing where it's like when they're together, like there's really no stopping them. Like when the two twins, avatar twins, are fighting side by side, like you're pretty much untouchable. But if you separate them, then if you defeat one, the other one also falls. And that's, I like that a lot. Like that's just very cool. Like imagine that if, say, even like the villain of a campaign you're running, I just think that that's a really cool approach for players to think like, okay, you know, that creates a neat challenge for them to have to overcome.
I know where you were going with it, but in my head I went somewhere weird and was essentially like, yeah, think about it, your players get to the end and they're ready to fight the big bad evil guy, and then he just falls over because somewhere in the world someone else killed his twin.
Ah, there you go.
But then it doesn't really leave much else to happen. It's just
very anticlimactic, but sometimes, hey, that's life. You know.
I like it. I also like that one of the goals and desires is that these twins seek out the items that were used by previous avatars of Ren and Yak. And then they actually get them and then essentially make them better, upgrade them, or redo them because they're dwarves. Of course they do. And essentially now they're dwarven avatars of these lightning gods. And then they can just come in and make normal magical items even better or restore them to the power they once had.
Yeah, I liked pretty much everything about this post. It was very cool. So good job, DM Genesisect.
Yes, DM Genesisect.
What'd you pick?
So what's interesting is I will pick Blake Ryan's post. And I say it's interesting because the two options that DM Genesisect chose and Blake Ryan chose were both written by the same person in that original forum. So a special shout out goes to Rorik for all of the awesome Pantheon pieces, we'll say, he put into that forum. And it is for Ythalin, the Lord of Silence and Shadow. So probably a little darker than the last one. And so for this, it is that the avatars are actually his spawn. So half god.
I like that he incorporates, you know, things like Yuan Ti, like the serpent folk, you know, like stuff like that. Displacer beasts, even like stuff that is more on the creepy side. I can dig that.
Yeah.
So yeah, so the Ythalin one, I like that it's a lot of kind of undead, not necessarily undead, but like a lot of the stuff that, you know, are typical with undead creatures, like, you know, daylight's bad, you know, that kind of stuff. That's how you destroy daylight cast upon both of his eyes in particular. Like that's it's a neat visual, you know, it's very interesting. But, you know, the fact that like drawn to the shadows and kind of sticks to the darkness, but then sunlight and daylight, you know, is kind of like his bane. I thought that was a cool touch.
Yeah, the death step, teleport 50 feet per level, trading spots with a dying or dead body.
That's pretty cool.
Really interesting stuff. Yeah, and this one is definitely more of that NPC feel because I would assume the whole purpose of the avatar is to actually never be known. I mean, there would be people within the network that they're creating to keep this silence and shadows and do everything. But I mean, for the most part, you would never see them until it's probably too late.
I like that. Like an avatar that exists that like no one knows about, but like is totally there manipulating from the darkness type of thing. Like that's cool. I like that a lot.
Well, now that we've highlighted a couple posts, we're going to start lifting the mental weights right now.
Getting pumped.
Lifting weights is what I do. Look at me. Lift these weights.
All right. So to kick this one off, I am going to go ahead and keep the train rolling down the Rorik track, if you will, because Rorik, like I said, created a ton of deities for the Dayayanbe Pantheon. And this one was, so we'll develop the avatar of Bilma, the Dream Giver, who is actually neutral good. So we'll kind of work through the prompt, and it could be a great way for anyone that wants to create avatars for the specialized deities in your own world, just deities from established campaign settings like Forgotten Realms, Dark Sun, anything like that. This prompt could help you create something of an avatar in your world. So the question is, how is the avatar of this god chosen? So I was actually going to say that for Bilma, the Dream Giver, that it is someone that has been in a coma. or is like currently in like a comatose state and has been for a certain amount of time. Essentially, you know, and giving credence to the idea that someone that is in a coma still hears and can dream during that time. So I was thinking that would be a great way for someone to become chosen of Bilma.
That's awesome. I like that a lot.
And then kind of hinted from the actual post that Rourke put on there is, what are the goals and desires? And essentially the goal and desire of this avatar is to kind of be almost like a good version of Grimer Wormtongue. It's kind of what I think of. Like, they're there to help motivate people. Like, it's not them. They're not the ones standing on the front lines. They're not going full William Wallace here and you can take our lives, but you'll never take our freedom. But essentially they're the one that would be like they're kind of not even hype man, but the one that motivates them, like that sounding board that they always go to, and they can help plant dreams in these people.
Is it sinister though, like Grima Wormtongue?
No. So because the person is neutral good. So
okay. Oh, that's right.
So it's kind of twofold, where on one hand they could plant dreams to help motivate and spur revolution, and on the flip side, for like that good aspect, they could actually plant dreams into evil creatures, if you will, and almost give them remorse.
Oh, that's cool.
Or they may not have had it. So that's kind of the big picture goals. Special abilities. I mean, a ton of mind affecting stuff is obviously what I would go with. And to throw it back to Young Justice, because that's what I like to do, it makes me think of those scenes where they have the mental battles.
And okay.
That could be an aspect that they're allowed through their deity to essentially do mental combat on a like whole nother level, because they are the dream giver.
I like it.
So one of the other ideas is, how could this avatar be defeated? And it's pretty simple. You just keep them awake.
Oh, that's clever.
Yeah.
That's clever.
I mean, it's extremely difficult to do because they're so powerful and they could step into like a different dimension real quick, you know, with rope trick and things like that. Or they could just get away and they could fall asleep for a short amount of time. But essentially, if you figure out a way to keep them awake for some extended period of time, then it will essentially break their tie to Bilma. And then they will at minimum no longer be the avatar, and potentially they would be defeated and pass on.
That's cool. I like that a lot. That there's a lot of cool room to play with that idea. You could do a lot of neat things with it. And it's different than, like, say, if, you know, you could even make it like if the dreams perhaps that are being, you know, created by this slumbering, you know, avatar, like, are causing havoc, you know, type of thing. Like, that creates an interesting scenario for players. Like, that's cool.
Yeah, this just came with it. Like, no, just thought of it. They could almost be like this unassuming NPC that one of the players, or all of the players, depending on how you want to approach it, interacts. And it could be, you know, the players are like, man, we're having all these crazy dreams, but not really knowing why or where it's coming from. And then it's this unassuming NPC that they keep interacting with. Anyway, and furthering the goals of this avatar to have things happen because of the dreams that they're planting.
That's rad. I like it.
Yes!
You get my seal of approval.
Ooh.
I don't give that out to just anybody, you know, so it's very special.
Done. It's going to be a wax seal.
Oh, yeah. Put that on your wall.
So do you have one that's ready to go?
Yeah. So mine's a little bit different. Kind of the first idea that jumped out at me when I first read the prompt and I was looking at this. I don't know. So I guess maybe it's probably from like where my brain has been lately, just as a little like preface. I've been playing a lot of The Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild. That's where my headspace is currently. Like, it's been eat, sleep, play Legend of Zelda. So for me though, like, it's not necessarily directly tied to that, but there's been some inspiration, some ideas that come from that I thought was kind of cool. And the idea of avatars of different elements, essentially. So one of the things that jumped to me was, say, like, just fire. You know, it's not even a god. It's not a, you know, divine being. But yet the elements are a kind of a spiritual thing. Like, a lot of times you see in, like, Eastern, like, mythology type of stuff. You know, you've got the elements that can be controlled and harnessed and are often referred to as, like, living things, you know? So perhaps, like, fire, you know, actually has an avatar that is kind of sadly like maybe mindless, or at least like not conscious or aware of what it is or what it's doing. And it's almost just kind of like it manifests maybe as like a person or like a living creature, but doesn't have like the same type of thoughts or, you know, anything that a sentient creature normally would have. Maybe it like doesn't express emotions or anything like that. And almost maybe like a child, which is kind of I think an interesting thing, like to encounter this thing, this being that is like the representation of water or air or something. And it's just kind of there, and it, you know, it is made to say govern over that element. You know, it kind of watches over, you know, fire or whatever its designated thing is. But yet, like, it's just kind of, that's all its purpose in life is. And it's almost kind of sad, like, when you, you know, if you kind of think about it, and like, you could have, you know, situations where this avatar of fire just kind of does its thing. And, you know, perhaps like there's a little bit of, you know, players might think like, oh, like, that's a horrible existence. Like, what if we, you know, helped it or did something, you know, to, I don't know. So that's, to me, that's what jumped out. Like, that was my first thought.
Man, I feel like I'm in the zone right now. All right. So, and I don't know what it is. And I, you know, the best thing could be I could say a bunch of stuff right now and everyone be like, well, that's, I don't know what zone he thought he was in. So my thought was, especially with the fire one, if you thought about it, both with that child aspect, where if you could somehow reduce its size, then it could be like a controlled element. And then, I mean,
yeah,
that you could actually interact with it on some level, or with the water, if you could get it almost in like a contained setting,
right? Almost just like real life, like how you would handle like fire or water or things like that. Like, how do you handle one of those things that's out of control? It's like, okay, well, think about it, you know, that's, and that's kind of similar, like that's what you would do, you know, with maybe one of these avatars that perhaps is out of control, or is maybe, you know, there's something going on and it needs to be stopped or whatever. It's the idea of like, yeah, how do you handle fire? Well, you know, things like water or things like containing it, being able to remove any like the source of its fuel type of thing. You're like, that's the way that you stop it. So naturally that would be the same for like this avatar as well.
Then the other one for wind that I just thought of was the only time you can interact with it is at the eye of a storm.
Ah, that's cool. Yeah. So, I mean, it's kind of like, it's not quite as in-depth as like, you know, having a deity that it kind of follows and powers that it inherits from that. But I like the idea of kind of representations of just like natural forces that, you know, just exist in the world and thus like players can kind of interact with, but not necessarily can go to for, like, favors or, you know, things. It's just kind of a little bit more primal than that, I guess, you know? So, yeah.
Then the last one, of course, would be the Avatar of Heart.
That's right. And the most important.
Yes. So this gets super meta sometimes. So track with me here. So okay. DMnastics 23 was posted. Then I did whatever DMnastics episode that was with none other than Friar Took. And together we were inspired and made the deity for the world of Dayaumbe called Zamu Logo. What we're going to do now is take Zamu Logo into DMnastics number 77 and make the avatar of Zamu Logo, because that is super meta and that makes me happy.
Let's do it.
Zamu Logo is the chaotic good god of nature, knowledge, travel, and pathways. So the avatar. Okay. So then we're going to go through. So for the first one, how is the avatar of this god chosen? I want to say that it is someone that dies on the road.
Oh, interesting.
And essentially now they're given the chance to come back, because pathways are the domain of Zamu Logo, and they were the one that originally helped create the pathways in the world of Dayaumbe.
Mm-hmm.
So the question to you is, what is the avatar's mission, goal, or desire?
Well, Zamu Logo, you know, kind of the domains include travel, roads, and I like the whole, you know, in order to like to be the avatar, like one has to die while traveling, you know, like a maybe like a terrible fate. I feel like it's all about like destinations and like making sure that people, well, I don't want to make it too specific, but like things get to where they're supposed to go. Mm-hmm. You know, that's like the ultimate goal, is that this avatar kind of makes sure that things that are very important, you know, things that have a lot of consequence to the world or whatever, like things that are grand in nature, they get to where they're supposed to be, because it's the whole travel and pathways thing. So I feel like that's kind of like looking over the road, you know, to make sure that like that happens and that, you know, is fulfilled.
I like it. I also like making it more generalized, you know, because even playing back into the idea of knowledge, it could just be
right.
that, you know, the Avatar themselves goes the rest of the way and just relays the knowledge that is so important. Or right. something terrible happens to a caravan and they take it on themselves to get the medicine or magic item or whatever it may be to its final destination where it can do the most good, or at least just do what it is supposed to do.
Right. It ties into like the chaotic good, because it's good, you know, some of the load is good, but not like lawful good, kind of chaotic. So there's, you know, things could potentially like, it's a little bit disruptive at times where, you know, never know exactly maybe where that's going to fall, which is a little bit interesting.
What special abilities do we think they would receive from their god?
Hmm.
The easy out here would be things like Misty Step, Teleport, Dimension Door.
Yeah.
A lot of, I mean, fast travel, fast movement, stuff like that.
I almost feel like something like teleportation would be not allowed, because if Zamu Logo's domains include roads and paths, I almost feel like teleportation is kind of the opposite of that, because you're ignoring the roads and paths and you're not giving them any attention. You're just skipping them entirely, you know, to get to your destination. So I almost feel like maybe things like, I could see like Misty Step or things like, you know, just movement in general, but like this Avatar is all about like, will travel the entire distance to this destination. Like, that's kind of like maybe his Avatar is bound to always do that, you know, like there's no just like teleporting around, you know, type of thing, because being, you know, a representation of this god that oversees roads and stuff, like that's kind of a big deal. I don't know.
So some of the ideas I was thinking were to play off the ranger, but not in that. An example would be Woodland Stride, where they can move through any sort of undergrowth at their normal speed without taking damage or suffering any other impairment. But my thought was essentially there wouldn't be underbrush behind them. And right. then instead of the idea of trackless step, it would be tracked step. Essentially, they're imbued with the power to create pathways at an accelerated rate. Because essentially that's the fundamental concept of how roads and everything are built. When countries are first started, it's just the easiest path that a group of humans or animals take, and eventually over time it creates an actual pathway. Eventually right. it turns into a road, so on and so forth.
Ooh, I like the idea of this Avatar walking through like overgrown forest trails or paths or whatever. And as it walks through it effortlessly, it actually just magically kind of clears the path. Mm-hmm. Nature kind of maybe rescinds like the vines and thorns and stuff and just kind of like pulls it away as this Avatar walks through it. And that's a cool visual. I like that a lot.
Yeah, and because one of the pieces of the portfolio of Zamu Logo was nature itself. So then you wouldn't have it being like this damaging thing and you ain't all this stuff underfoot, but essentially naturally cleared away. And you know,
right.
people could be, oh man, I said this was going to be short. I lied. So then the idea that, you know, I mean, this could be as simple as the Avatar of Zamu Logo going before a set of people that need to get somewhere. And now there's this new pathway that's been created so that they can actually get where they're supposed to go, where if it wasn't, maybe they would have not gotten there.
Hmm. That's pretty cool. I could see, like, in a game, like, maybe you have a... Obviously, it seems, like, very tailored towards, like, a lot of rangers would probably, you know, worship Zamu Logo and probably revere this Avatar, you know, with respect. But I could even see, like, maybe there's a group of rangers or even druids or something that actually kind of despise, because maybe the whole like, you know, no, nature's supposed to naturally overtake, you know, these roads and paths that aren't being used. Like that's part of how nature's supposed to be. And then, you know, by this Avatar kind of doing that, like that's almost maybe almost like a cult within, you know, like ranger circles that feel like that is kind of blasphemous. It's like, no, like you're, that's kind of defilement of nature by doing that.
Interesting. I like it. Sir, I say we've done it. We've done it once again.
Good God. That's what I did. See? Look at it. I did it.
Well done. Well done. And if you thought to yourself, good God, that was an amazing episode, you can always head over to your podcatcher of choice and leave us a rating and review. Word on the street. Those are helpful.
Yes, yes, be that divine herald and leave us the 5 stars. And of course, if you ever want to reach out to us to tell us all about the cool avatars in your game or what you thought of this episode, make sure to email us at dmnastics@gmail.com and make sure to follow us on Twitter @dmnastics, me @cconowich, and Neil @joeboniak. And for everything else on the network, of course, you can always head to blockpartypodcastnetwork.com.
And a huge thank you to the bards over on Bombarded for our intro and outro music, and for everything else that they are doing, head over to bombardedcast.com. With that, we'll turn out the lights and head out of the gym. But before we go, I want to implore you, the listener, to do things that are written down and I normally say but have completely forgotten. To join the forums, the Discord,
join the forums, Twitter,
anywhere you can find us, and take part in these challenges, exercises, and other amazing conversations being had.
To do that, head over to dungeonmasterblock.freeforums.net and try some DMnastics so your players don't ask, do you even live?